Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Great to have you here, Henrik with Red Ice TV. And today for our featured interview, we are talking with Angelo John Gage, who returns to the show. It was, what is it, Angelo? Like, probably at least a year ago since we spoke. Must be.
Been a while. I mean, certainly during the Trump bombing of Syria, I think you put me on.
Did we talk then? Yeah.
Was it with Kevin McDonald in that show? I forgot. Was it with him?
I think it was. Yeah, I think you're right. Exactly. And that was 2017, was it? Or was it 2018? It's all a blur. But anyway, good to have you back, Angelo. Thank you for coming on. We have a lot of important topics lined up that we want to talk about today and get into. A lot of things have happened. And why don't we start and talk a little bit about Trump? I kind of wanted to touch on it briefly because I know that, I mean, long time ago, since you're off that train, as you said, ever since Syria, it's like things have changed. Things have drastically changed even in the last couple of months, I'd say. Most recently, he attacked Ann Coulter for being a whack job or whatever the hell he was. He's aligned himself with all the big neocons, Bolton, Pompeo, even Marco Rubio, the way that they've been pushing into Venezuela. He's talking about bringing in more immigrants than ever to America and stuff like that now, as long as they're coming legally, right? What the hell has happened? Give us your take on why it's just collapsed so quickly.
I mean, my theory is that it's possible most presidents in our history, many of them maybe, were good people. Maybe, maybe not. But let's say Trump was a good man. I don't see what in his, you know, the whole story with Trump that sold me was he's an outsider. Yes, he's a billionaire, so he can't be corrupted because he has money, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, all right, this guy's going to, you know, do some good stuff. Maybe he did mean everything he said, but number one, he's not a dictator. He can't do everything he said without Congress, which is no doubt in his way for everything. But also, you know, I think that perhaps, you know, when the presidents become the presidents, they get in front of these certain people who really run the show and say, hey, yeah, you know what? You can do this or that, but you can't do any of this. And if you do this, you might end up like JFK. That's my theory. And interestingly enough, there was a Trump Tower fire. And ever since that Trump Tower fire, some kind of changed his attitude. So maybe someone lit that fire. So, you know, sad if you were in that fire. I mean, that's me just being, you know, pulling out there, but it's not impossible. But I do see this 180 in almost everything. So it's either A, someone went up to him and said, you can't do any of this and something bad will happen to you, or B, he just realized, he's incompetent. I don't know the real reasons, Henrik, but it seems to me most likely that, you know, even Eisenhower said before he resigned that there's a military industrial complex is very dangerous. And he was our general, you know, president who was a general. A lot of presidents left messages like Woodrow Wilson, I believe, after signing the Federal Reserve, like basically saying, I sold my country out. You know, it's like they're telling us something's going on. Shadowy figures run the country. Like they've said this literally. So that's probably who these presidents meet. And again, they're not dictators. They can't do everything they want.
Yeah. And neither should they. I mean, it's frustrating on one end, right? But we have to think about it in the situation that if the wrong guy from our perspective, or from our political perspective or whatever gets in there, let's be honest, we wouldn't want to see that person have dictatorial powers either, right? So there is checks and balances, but it's almost like it's so rigid. It's so controlled. It's so established, like the order, if you will, of the hierarchy within a country, that even if you get this candidate who might have been an outsider, again, we're speculating here because we don't know. Maybe this was a setup. Maybe this was the plan all along. He was put there to make Israel great again. And it is true to a certain extent that the divisions and the schisms in America is greater now than ever. And we've also had, by the way, a pushback on pushback towards more censorship in the wake of this, right? That the many of the liberals and the leftists and in the extension the elitists, the globalists, we're talking about, have really clamped down on anything that I think contributed to the Trump win, right? The memers, the alternative media, the dissident voices, and everything. It's just censorship is out of control. And this president is doing nothing to defend his base on social media or anywhere else. It's a travesty.
Yeah, it's pretty strange. And frankly, another thing I want to add is that his own party is against him among almost everything. So that sucks too. But yeah, he's not doing much for people who's actually like InfoWars really probably helped. I mean, Alex Jones has 10 millions and millions of people. Who knows? And he was totally destroyed off, you know, removed from Twitter and everything. And he didn't say one word. You know, so it's like, you know, he actually, you know, I think if you remember, Trump went on InfoWars one time.
Yeah, definitely.
Alex, like, are you going to do, are you not trying to set, or, you know, Alex, he's like, so, can we really trust you? Are you going to make a difference? You know, and that kind of sold me too. Like, wow, he's on InfoWars. Interesting. You know,
yeah, it's like, I won't let you down. I'll make you proud. Right. Yeah.
Move, not one peep. Like, I think it's a shame Twitter did that. You know, he talks about his shows, or I can't believe this show said that about me, but he doesn't talk about his own, you know, people who supports him.
Yeah.
Unless it's negative, like Ann Coulter, which we'll get into later. But, you know, yeah, he's not doing anything in his position to stop this censorship of conservatives or people on the right or any forms on the right. If you're not Stalin, you're okay. You're bad. If you're Stalin, you're okay. You know, that's how it's
right.
been.
Yep.
Like, in the last 10 years, really. Really, really big shift in the last 10 years.
Absolutely. But I saw this the other day, though, Trump said, right? I would actually win 98% of the vote if I ran in the Israeli election. How about that?
Yeah, no, he would.
he probably would, exactly. But let's face it. I mean, again, whether this was a setup to begin with or whether it happened in the process, I think he was always very, very ferociously pro-Israeli, though, obviously, right?
He definitely did that promise.
It's almost like, what if that was like a, what do you call it? Like not a bargain, but like, okay, I'll do that if you let me like improve things in America, right? Well, it's like, can I build a wall, control immigration, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, but yeah. None of that has come about.
Right. I mean, you know, one thing is I theorize that the left is too extreme now. Apparently they're the anti-Semites. So the right, the elites have to go right now to kind of go with the pendulum this way to normalize their and justify their policies in Israel and worldwide imperialism. So if America's doing it, so that's okay if they do it. It's kind of like you need partners in crime to justify what you're doing.
Yeah.
If no one else is doing it, you're the only bad guy on the block. If you have the greatest superpower defending you, now you can do whatever you want, and it justifies your actions, you know. But again, there's always hypocrisy. It's not open borders for Israel. It's open borders for America. But yeah, Trump didn't betray that promise. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem, he pledged the billions to Israel again. And he did other dumb things like selling arms to Saudi Arabians, which killed Yemeni people, which I don't know what the hell he's thinking. None of this to me makes America great again. So yeah, he's just done a 180.
It's over. I mean, it's over.
I don't even know how he's going to get elected. I mean, all the people who love this guy still is the tax cuts. I mean, well, okay, but who really got tax cuts? The rich? You know, what else did he do? I mean, jobs are here, so they'll leave again. I mean, Trump's not going to be there for eternity. If he does win another election, it's another 4 years and it's over. I mean,
yeah.
No one's really foreseeing, like, no one's looking forward beyond Trump. They're just like, Trump, 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 MAGA, 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 MAGA. I mean, that's why people like us who have integrity, we I'm sure you supported Trump in the beginning, too.
I did.
Did. And the second he did the Syria thing or something else, we said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah,
and
that was it. I started complaining when he replaced, the Michael Flynn's, the Bannon's, right? And when that shift started to happen and when it was moving over to the same old neocon guard in there. And I do believe that there was sabotage initially in the administration. I think there were things that started out pretty well. But again, the usual suspects either hijacked it along the road or it was a setup to begin with. One thing that I always mention when this comes up, though, and I'm totally over Trump at this point. Nothing's going to happen. He's not going to get reelected even 2020 because he's not defending the base that actually managed to, kind of whip up this enthusiasm on social media and stuff like that. That's over. The channels are banned. People are gone. Even just milquetoast conservatives, for Christ's sake, are like shadow banned on Twitter now. So I don't think that that's going to happen. But one thing I do appreciate that he managed to expose the hypocrisy with mainstream media channels and stuff like that. That's the one takeaway that I would grant him.
I mean, even putting the idea of America first in our heads, I'm seeing people pop out all over the place about the Israeli lobby, all over. Regular people, people on the left, people on the right, like, hey, are you American or Israeli first? You know, what are you doing? So like, even if he never gets elected again, he already did enough damage to the fake narrative. Okay. So essentially he's saying the news shouldn't be trusted and you should put America first. And that's really what you need to start being a nationalist in a healthy way, you know? So he did that. And that's, if anything, that's the accomplished. That's important of all things. I mean, yeah, jobs great. If you built the wall, which I don't think is ever going to happen now.
No,
for sure.
No.
No way.
No, that's it. So, yeah. People can drop that. It's just not going to happen. So there's a change. We can establish that. Even the talk about the jobs and the economy and stuff, it's clear that it's incredibly insecure as well at the same time, because you can have a rise one day and then a decline the next day, and it's up and down more than ever before. And even these jobs that supposedly he's done, someone did a study, and most just American, like mostly white men, are not benefiting from these jobs anyway. Yet he wants to bring in all these people, Angelo.
Yeah, no, he's like, the black unemployment rate is really lower than ever. Da 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 da. All right, but they're not the biggest workforce in this country. What about the white middle class people, which are the biggest workforce by just sheer numbers as well? He doesn't mention them at all. I don't think any politicians mention them.
Yang. Andrew Yang did. He did actually directly touch the third rail, right, when it comes to mainstream politics. It was to say the suicide rates against among whites is high, right?
Yeah. So clearly they're not making America great again for white people at all. It's just people of color and infinite immigrants, even if they're legal, would make this country great. Because what did Trump say? He wanted to bring more immigrants than ever. I don't even understand, like, how many people do you need in this country? Like, just the numbers, even if they're the same people. Yeah, that's a funny one.
It is funny. Oh, that's the wrong one. Let me go over to that one again. Yeah, the Yang. I mean, and this is true, though. We'll get to UBI and Yang a little bit later, because that is an interesting discussion. But if Trump is going to be on a level where he just throws cash at Israel, right, why not give it to Americans instead, then? It's their money. They're the taxpayers, right?
Another meme about Yang, I didn't put it up, but it said, you know, there's the one where the one guy's looking at the girl walking by.
Yep, saw that one.
So it's like Trump is the guy, and then the girl's looking back and says Ying. It says Trump, America going to shit, Yang, America going to shit plus $1,000.
Exactly. We might as well, right? If the country's going to be bankrupt and the whole foreign policy spending is going to be spent to secure Israel and all that stuff, like, you might as well give something back to people, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Universal basic income. We'll get to some of that too. But yeah, Yang is it's interesting. But let's face it, it's a joke as well. On top of it, obviously, because it's like I came across this article here from The Verge from a couple of days ago. Presidential candidate Andrew Yang has a meme problem. The memes being spread right now are sabotage, he claims. Right? I mean, memes is very good. It's good to have these people on your side. But he denounced them. He said, for anyone with this agenda, and he's obviously talking about the kids that are having fun on 4chan and Paul and everything else, denouncing Trump and going for Yang, he said, we do not want your support. You are not welcome in this campaign. So, you know, that's a shame, but I'm not surprised. Are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, technically, it's smart that he says this. I'm sure that he knows the memes are going to help, even if they are crazy. But he's denouncing the memes made by 4chan people, obviously. You know, I mean, any good meme of him not, you know, promote like the rabbi getting sprinkled with water, with cash, he has to denounce that. But, he's going to, I mean, look, Trump won with memes. I mean, from all kinds of memes, you know.
Yeah.
Memes can get him elected in a way, because it's going to capture the younger generations. Like, oh, this is funny. And, you know, yeah, why not get $1,000? I mean, but you know, it's funny. I saw him on Joe Rogan. And he was very humble. He said, look, even if I don't win, as long as I can bring this issue of automation and UBI up into the mainstream where other politicians adopt it, fine by me. He's like, I'm just here to solve problems. If I got elected by president, good. That's fine. But I really mostly care. So I really like that about him. Again, I don't know his other politics. I don't really agree. I did go on his website and it said, do you want to support Israel? And he goes, no, we should be less involved. So I was like, all right, that's a
but then I can get behind that.
And, you know, immigration, all these other policies and whatever else I probably don't agree with because they're typical liberal policies. But
yeah,
he's a successful millionaire and he's intelligent. But is it a meme? Is he just a running meme? I don't know. We'll see. But his stance against Israel probably guarantees he won't become president. Typically, that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think he's in a position where, as you said, he's an entrepreneur primarily. He wants to bring these issues to there's a lot of people that do that. They do decide to run for president just to kind of, I mean, it does strengthen their profile. Sure. That's what people thought about Trump, right? Initially, he's just doing it for his brand. Well, if anything, his brand has been destroyed up to this point. But anyway, but if he raises the issue of automation, which is a real one, there is a coming apocalypse for the workers. It's just reality of it. which of course is interesting because that puts this issue of open borders and migration into question too, and even Trump's current policy. He said, I think when he was meeting with Tim Apple, right, that we need to bring in much more people, basically, to position these jobs. And couldn't a government instead initiate programs which is about like trying to bring those jobs to where the people are, or even vice versa? There are people that are willing to move for a job, right? Do that instead?
Yeah, I mean, like Pat Buchanan, I caught him in a segment for a minute. I just saw it on the internet. He said, you know, I think we should stop all immigration until our unemployment rate is 6%. That makes sense. Like, he's like, how many more people do you want to add to this country who can't work at the end or will lose their job anyway or something? To me, that's what I'm saying. I'm not against immigrants, but how much bigger do you want your population to be? I could argue, let's become a billion Americans. I mean, how's that sustainable, you know? So I think there should be no immigration at all against, for any people, for white people, European, everybody has to stop. And let's focus on our people who are already here. Let's get them employed. Let's get them working. And then if we need more help after we're prosperous, sure, let people in, but we won't need it probably. That's just my view. I agree with him.
And, hey, I saw, speaking of the, how many, I saw a number from a Vox writer, by the way. He said, achieving 1 billion Americans through a mix of openness to immigration plus much greater public support for families with children sounds like a nice idea to me. So 1 billion he wants in America. Again, this is a guy influential, no, but it's a lefty. He writes for Vox. He has some say in certain things, right? It's amazing when you think about it. Like, think about the environment. Think about, again, what are all these people going to do? Are they going to live a Western lifestyle? The robots are going to take over. There's automation. It's insanity. I mean, are we agreeing with the birth strike movement here now? All of a sudden, is that what's happening?
That's three times our population. What are we at, like 327 now or something like that?
Yeah, so three times more. That's incredible. Think of the pollution.
You have to literally boatloads. It has to be from Africa because there's overpopulated India. It has to be
India.
From
yep.
I mean, you want white people to become a minority there. That's your secret right there because you're not getting them from Europe.
That's no, for sure.
No one's going to flee Europe to come here. You know,
they wouldn't let them in anyway.
They wouldn't let them in. It's ridiculous.
Europe wouldn't let white Americans in either, I think.
Yeah. But you see, I wouldn't want anyone to come even from Europe. At this point, I would just shut down immigration like Pat Buchanan said. Let's fix our damn country. It's like, why add more people to the sinking ship right now? Let's fix those people we got.
Yeah.
You know, if Yang adapted that policy, or Tulsi for that matter, I'd vote for them in a heartbeat, but they're open borders. Like, not open borders, but...
Yeah, it's the same old, same old.
Immigration, Trump tried at least.
Yeah.
He challenged it. And see, that's the thing. People say, well, it's legal immigration. So what if it's legal? You know, legality doesn't mean it's good. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many times in history there was a law that was legal that was bad? You know? So... It doesn't mean it's a good outcome if it's legal or not. I mean, whether they all come in illegally, if 500 million immigrants came legally or illegally, the results are the same. You're displacing entire cultures to make this glob of multiculturalism work, which it won't. And then, you know, it's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at some examples. I mean, India is, sure, there's different castes and stuff like that, but it's still fairly homogenous, you know. But look at how India and Pakistan are getting along, you know, and look at and they're also actually fairly close, right? There's a difference. I recognize that, but there's some overlaps. Or look at what's happening in Brazil. I don't know how many million there are there, but the tremendous issues and struggles on different, you know, what shade you have, basically, right? It's a disaster. But the plan, I think, is, Angelo, is to ruin nationalism, and it's to destroy that which ties the nations together, which is the ethnic groups, right? And so whether it's a total corruption of everything and it's falling apart, that's objective achieved. And then they can come in and swoop up at that point, right? If it's a conflict or war, or there's something that comes in the wake of this multicultural experiment, the establishment can come in and say, okay, well, we have to restore order basically here, and it will be like a police state at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at France. It's a war zone there, if you look at it. It's people losing eyes or losing hands. And these people, they're so pissed at their own president that they can't even, why hasn't he stepped down? There should be a way to remove such people. But the French are known to cut people's heads off. So, you know, who knows how far that will go. But that's an example of trying to force things on people. People say it's a gas tax, but it's more than that. They're actually pissed off at the multiculturalism too, the yellow jackets or the yellow vests. You know, so we're going to see more of this, I think, around Europe. The Americans, I mean, we're so complacent and lazy that we don't even care because we have so much, we're not getting destroyed. Like, well, we are getting somewhat destroyed, but not as fast as Europe is. You know, they're getting really attacked. It's like the Kalergi plan's on full effect over there. You know what I mean? It's like, there's not much space there, you know, but here we have a big country and the effects here, you know, people are just talking about legal immigration and they're trying to justify that. But ultimately, you know, demographics is destiny. That's true. I believe that. Sure, you could have some minorities who are able that came with merit, fine. But if you replaced, I tell this all the time, if China became 80% Italian, it wouldn't be China anymore. And I'm Italian, you know, it's just the way it works. You know, third world people make third world countries. There can be various reasons, genetics or IQ or whatever. Maybe they have a lack of resources, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't justify you destroying your own country. So clearly there's a reason for this because no one would do this to themselves. There's a reason for this. And it is an external force. It is these globalist elites who want to destroy nationalism because they view it as a threat. Nationalism and sovereignty takes away from their control. If there are no nation states and they can control everything with commerce and all this other stuff and politics and global banks and global police and NATO, and then they have power. But if everyone's like, you know, if they pull like a Hungary, you know, we're going to close our borders, screw you, screw the EU, it's in their way, you know.
Yeah, I remember Guy Verhofstadt, one of the higher-ups in the EU, he actually recommended that America does military intervention in Hungary after the wake of the anti-Soros, you know, kind of campaign that they've been running over there. And even the fact that they don't want migration, they don't want to be forced to accept them by the EU and stuff like that. This is how insane these people are. They go in and they bomb. This is what happened in Libya. This is what happened in Iraq. Ultimately, they didn't submit totally to the international plan. And those people are taken out. And it's happening right now, as we can see, with Venezuela. Pompeo has been relentless in his assault on this bullshit excuses that he's been pulling. Like this, do you remember the bridge story a couple of weeks ago? It was hot in the news. They're refusing to open up the bridge to accept aid and stuff like that. And Venezuela, people had stopped it and said there was actually military equipment, surveillance equipment. There was barbed wire and like a bunch of stuff in with all the aid packages, just like they have been doing in Syria, right, to the rebels over there. But what was interesting about that bridge story was as well that the bridge had they claimed that the Maduro had blocked the bridge. But the fact is that bridge was never opened. It was built in 2016 and it was never it was completed, but it was never opened up officially. It was actually Colombia on the border that had put some guardrails or whatever you call it in the way to block traffic because it was a dispute. But this is how America and the neocons use it, right? Let's use a bridge which has never been opened and say that this is a way for Maduro to block aid and traffic coming in. They're so sly, you know, these neocons.
They're clever and they're liars. And that's what they do to, you know, we've seen these lies before, like Saddam Hussein to justify the Gulf War. Oh, they're throwing babies out of incubators, you know, all these things like this. And that's what they do. They lie and people buy it because, you know what? People are good. Most people are good and they get emotional. Oh my God, they're not feeding those Venezuelans, blah, blah, blah. You know, I went to actually watch Maduro speak on, you know, he made a video about, you know, stay out of here. You know, yeah, we have our problems, but we'll take care of it. You know, it's like, just don't try to invade us because there'll be another Vietnam. That's what he said. And I believe him because we couldn't even stop the Vietnamese and they don't have the technology Venezuela has. Yeah, we would probably win the war if there was one, but it's killing people for what? You know, it's interesting. We have to spread democracy in undemocratic ways. Here we are, an interim president, Juan Guaido or whatever. How do we say that? How is that not meddling in elections? Talk about Russia and robots and media accounts, but we're literally telling other countries, look, that's your real president. And so does our allies agree. Therefore, it's true. I mean, no. And again, even if Venezuela had these issues, how does it make America great again?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. And go ahead.
If they didn't have any oil, we wouldn't care. But they have a big reserve there and people want a piece of it. That's what they want.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, the globalist industrial complex, it needs new victim to sink its teeth into, and that's why we've seen that continuously. Ever since the 50s, America's both meddled and also invaded countries, like, on a regular basis. It's just what happens. And even then, when one country is fixed up, they come back 30 years later and destroy it again. And, you know, because it benefits, it's a war industry, it's the economy, it's the resources of that country. And again, it doesn't go to the people, of course. If America spent, how many hundreds of millions now in the Afghan theater, for example, or the Iraq one for that matter, but Afghanistan, of course, have tremendous resources, both when it comes to minerals, but also the poppies, right? The opioids and the opiates and all that kind of stuff, right? So there is always an ulterior motive to why they want to do this. It's bullshit about democracy.
I mean, look, if we invaded Iraq, which was an unjust war, but our gas prices went from $4 to 20 cents, I don't think people would get as mad. Like, well, at least we got gas, but that's not what happened. In fact, it went up to $3 to $4 a tank over here in New Jersey. So it was ridiculous. Again, yes, it's always special interest, because what does Iraq or Iran or Syria or Venezuela have to do with you and me or anyone else? You know, I mean, you don't live in this country, I don't think, right? But what does Venezuela have to do with somebody from New Jersey, you know, or anything like that? Yeah, I feel bad if there's some corruption. Sure, there might be. Maybe there isn't. But what does it have to do with us? How does it benefit us? How does it help us? It doesn't. And, you know, one thing I agree with Tulsi Gabbard is that all of these wars cost money. And that money is what puts us in debt, essentially. And we could be using that to build infrastructure and schools and all this other stuff. But instead, we wasted on bombs. I mean, even the strike on Syria with Trump, it was like $1 million per missile or something like that.
Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. It's amazing.
$52 million wasted in a matter of minutes for nothing.
It could be given to people who are on who are addicted to opiates or fentanyl or any of these things, right? Set up a program in like 5 states and fund that for 4 years. You know what I mean? It's like for one missile.
I know, it's just incredible.
No, it's the game is rigged, right? I don't want to be blackpilled, because these people are also at the same time exposing themselves. This is becoming widely known, and this is, of course, why they are forced to censor. This is why they're forced to destroy, ultimately, political opinions which differ, dissent and everything else. And actually, speaking to that, we can return to Venezuela too here a little bit later, but let me show you the Facebook, it's all tied together. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google. It's like, that's the big four, right? Facebook bans Zero Hedge, right? It's considered to be, I think, like misleading information or something. I didn't even go through the article properly, but they've been banned. And even our good friend Pocahontas chimed in, which I totally agree with. She says, curious why I think Facebook has too much power. Let's start with their ability to shut down a debate over whether Facebook has too much power. Thanks for restoring my post, but I want a social media marketplace that isn't dominated by a single censor. Now, Trump has said things like this too, but talk is cheap. Are any of these politicians actually going to do anything about big tech?
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, like, here's Warren. She's on the left. She's Pocahontas. But I agree with her on this. And I tell
of
people,
course,
we're politically open-minded. Just because someone's on the left doesn't mean you have to denounce their belief or their idea. And that's what happens. A lot of people are so politically tribal. They just say, oh, no, it's from the left. It's evil. Therefore, we need censorship or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I go around and I look at all the politicians from all over the world even and try to get good ideas together, you know. But, yeah, I mean, my question would be, Henrik, how would they break up big tech? Would they not allow one person to own so many companies? Let's suppose, like, George Soros owns Google or Facebook. Let's just make it up. He wouldn't be allowed to own more than one company or something. How would this work? Is my question.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I guess the breakup would be over the fact that they're like, they have to make sure, at the very least, yeah, exactly. I mean, you wouldn't have to break it up by per individuals, or you couldn't break, well, you could break up the company, I guess, the different divisions or factions within it or something, but it's about the fact that the government has to come in and police the company and say, you are not allowed to remove people from the political discourse. If it's violent threats, yeah, that breaks the law. They're allowed to do it. But this hate speech thing doesn't like the government put that down when that was. I forget what year that was brought up in the courts, right? But it was like, that doesn't exist. It all speech is protected under the First Amendment, and it's true for these public platforms as well.
I mean, yeah, I think that these companies should be following the Constitution. I mean, you know, I understand that it's a if it's a privately owned company, something like, if you have shareholders, I think it's over. I think you can't do it. Or if you get any tax deductions or whatever it's called, exemptions from the government because of your business, or if you get funding, you know, like school.
They have been subsidized, though. That has to be said. Many of these big tech companies are subsidized.
A private club that's like, look, we're going to just censor everyone. No right, no conservatives allowed. That's a private club. No money from the government. Fine. Censor, do whatever you want. But this is a public company, I believe. It has been subsidized, like you said. How can it possibly get away with not following the Constitution? It has to. So I think that's a good argument against them.
Yeah.
I don't think, again, hate speech is just a made-up term. There's no such
thing. It's just, exactly. And they just do whatever they think. It was even a video of Facebook. We played it in. Go ahead, Angelo. What did you say?
Definition that's like, what is, you know, it's hurtful words, misgendering or something like that. But what if you're not offended by the hurtful word or whatever? What if the person attacking you or defending you or the hate speech or attacking it is actually offending you in the process, you know, by calling you like, you can't say that, Christians. And, well, that offends my religion. I mean, it's just so stupid. It can't be. It's not even a tangible thing. It's ridiculous.
No, there's no rules. There's no. It's whatever they feel like that day. I saw a video by one of the head security and safety persons high up in Facebook, and she was talking about the fact that if we see some new pattern, they call it, if something new shows up that doesn't look right, then we will change our policy to include that in the hate speech kind of thing. It basically means whatever pops up, if tomorrow. Kind of like what we saw with Learn to Code, right? That is like, how is that exactly an attack on someone, right? And people were blocked for it. Lana's banned for 2 weeks right now for that.
Really? From Learn to Code?
Yeah. Huffington Post Slimeball, which was lying about her in his article, right, had called her a white supremacist, despite that she isn't. She said, oh, you know, she had a little bit bicker back and forth, like, oh, you're lying, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, oh, darling, you know, Learn to Code, you know, and she was locked out for two weeks.
That's so learn.
This is how sensitive these ninnies are, you know.
Burn in hell was like a typical thing, but I'll just burn in hell or that. But now Learn to Code. It's actually, you know. Oh my God.
It's insanity. Yeah. But the fact is, you know, again, why this is relevant, and it's like, oh, well, it's a private company. Even the first, I see it even down below there, Warren's tweet. Well, it's a private company. They can do whatever they do. But the fact is, these are major platforms that is now just part of the cultural discourse, right, of how we sway each other politically, how we participate in the debate. And even the fact that many government and states and even cities and stuff like that, their administrations, their different, factions that they have within that city, for example, are using Twitter and Facebook to distribute information if and when something important happens, right? So if there's a big fire somewhere, there is a, I don't know, so something's happening, basically. The local police department is using Twitter and Facebook to get the word out. If you're blocked because of something which is not related to that specific information, then they're basically not allowing you to get access to vital society information and updates, right?
The issue here to me is that this technology is like a utility now. It's like water. I mean, imagine you didn't have the internet. You couldn't do your show, airplanes, nobody know what time their flight's at. I mean, there's so much going on the internet. That's not social media only, but social media does affect information. It can sway elections. You know, it keeps people to person communications open, so I can go on Skype right now and talk to my grandma in Italy. You know, these are important things, but the discourse, like you said, this is now a public space in a sense. Okay, people are talking in a public space, and now they're getting censored because it's a private company. But this technology is way beyond this company. You know, this is like a human right, if you will. If you ask me, like I said, it's like running water. You need the internet. I mean, could you live in the woods and not care? Sure, you could. But to function in a modern society, you know, all politicians have a Facebook, companies have a Facebook, Twitter, businesses. Oh my God. Imagine a business and then someone found a tweet from 2006, shut down your Twitter. Now you can't do business. You know, it's stupid. It's dangerous, you know? So, you know, and I think Twitter even went out and said that even what you do outside of Twitter will affect your account.
That's so right.
If you're found to be a neo-Nazi parade or something, goodbye, you know, it's like they get to do that. I mean, I understand from a company perspective, yeah, we don't want to associate with your people, but what is your company, what is it supposed to be doing? Is it a place to speak freely or not?
You know, but think of it this point of view, too. Look at, for example, the activism for Steve King or something, right? He is literally a congressman. What is it that's making... I mean, they have banned people on the basis that they are... what's the word? They're not campaigning for him, but they're advocating for him, right? For his continued political career, that he's there, that he's implementing policy. How is that not just participating in the democratic process of picking a candidate and sticking with them and talking about them, whatever, right? Do you see how they were attacking after this Identity Europa docs and all that stuff that happened, right? They were trying to associate them with Steve King, and that somehow that's the basis for why they're bad people. Well, guess what? He's a politician. He's an elected politician that is there as a person. And they're basically trying to dismiss the ability for anyone to get aboard and say, I support this candidate. I think he's great. That has now become a crime in America.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I was watching Jack Dorsey on Joe Rogan with Tim Cook, who's a left wing. I don't know what he is, but he was really, you know, hammering Jack.
You mean Tim Pool?
Yeah, Tim Pool. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
A great job, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. It was a lot of good points.
People have changed because of discourse. There are people who are super communist left, and then they change because of the interaction. He mentioned a girl from the Westboro Baptist Church. She was in the church, totally fanatic with that stuff they do. And because she engaged in people on Twitter, she left the church. That's a good thing. So, you know, the truth doesn't need to be protected. But, you know, that's the thing here. These people are pushing an agenda that needs to be covered up. So they have to censor people, you see. But, you know, we should have open dialogue. I don't think any company should ban anyone for anything unless it's violent, child pornography, stuff like that. Yes. But, you know, yeah, if you say something violent against someone that's actually credible, yeah, you should be suspended and the police should show up at your house. But, I mean, even that might say, you know, maybe that is even too extreme. Maybe you were just, I mean, you know how many times you get mad, you know, I'll kill you, bro. If you do that, I'll kill you. You don't really mean that, you know, but someone could take it as now today it's serious.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. But that's the thing. If they're trying to argue that whatever you do in the virtual space is like you were doing it in the physical space, then the same rules for where you can go and talk should apply too, right? And these social media platforms are built for people to communicate and interact. That's a very basic function of what they're designed to do. Well, actually, I take that back. They're designed to accumulate information about humans and build massive databases that can be sold to third-party companies so that artificial intelligence can, like, build computer brain interfaces and take over our brains. No, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, the data mining is 100% true because I'm getting ads that – for things I looked at on the internet, they're popping up everywhere. It's like personalized ads. That's what that is.
And you know what they do now? You can talk, like if you have a conversation with your wife about something, whether it's a car or a vacation or whatever it is, YouTube is now giving you customized ads in the beginning of videos based on your conversation. They're actually listening into it.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, you know, they know what they're doing. And again, it's just not only about information collection and all that kind of stuff. But again, censorship is a huge issue. Like, if we don't have that, what is there left, right? I mean, this is it's really the totalitarian days of like the Soviet Union, right? Where information must be controlled. And it is interesting, though, in the grand scheme of things, that remember when all the alternative kind of truth-seeking people were saying, oh, the globalists never expect, they let us have the internet, right? It was out of their control and people were waking up. And although it's partially true, kind of half of the cat is out of the bag, I guess. But the fact is now they can do an embargo pretty much on information. And with a few handful switches and clicks and algorithms, they can basically terminate and kill information or suck whole events out of the history books and bury them in the memory hole, you know?
Yeah, basically, yeah. And unperson people, things like that. I mean, yeah. Soviet Union tactics for sure. And, you know, like, for example, they could also destroy your life. Let's say you're a content creator. You've left your job. You're doing this for a living. And suddenly they go, oh, sorry, no more channel. And then everyone knows who you are. You can't get a normal job because you're evil, Nazi, white. You know what I mean? That's dangerous. That to me is too much power, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree.
People are protected, you know. And then, you know, Trump, how is he going to win again if all of his people are banned, you know?
He's not thinking.
If he wins again or not, I'm just saying, like, you know, hello, do something, say something at least.
Yeah. His base is walking away from him, and they're clinging on to people like Yang because it's just more fun. It's fun, more fun to meme with Yang than to be dedicated seriously about the wall, because that's not gonna happen, you know.
The wall was a meme. The Trump train was a meme, but
yeah,
all gone.
Yeah.
There's not happening.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a disgrace, you know. So, yeah, I wanted to show this one, too, about the... about YouTube there, because, of course, this is something that impacts us heavily, the fact that they will stop recommending what they deem to be conspiracy videos. It's a way of managing and manipulating people's ability to communicate their message and effectively also to keep away what they consider to be inconvenient political messages. So that effectively this is the essence of meddling, right, of dictating the narrative. But there are other things in the wake of this, too. And I guess it's related to this over the fact that if they stop recommending videos from certain channels, they will be, as you said, they will lose their ability to reach out and to new audiences. And this is true for Red Eyes. This was a study done. I've shown it a couple of times, but I'm going to hammer this because it's really important to us and our continued growth in the future and our ability to reach new people, at least on the YouTube platform, right? There was a guy down in, I think, Auckland, New Zealand, that did studies on about 3.7 million videos. And these were collected primarily from channels that were all mentioned in Data and Society's list of alternative influence channels. So they did a report. Data and Society, as you guys might be aware, were funded by the usual suspects, Open Society Foundation, or whatever it's called, George Soros' thing, funded by the New York Times, or mainstream media channels is getting involved in these kinds of studies now, too. And even Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and stuff like that were mentioned in this. But what you're seeing on the screen, the graph, is all the channel creators and those who produce content that were mentioned in this list of in the Alternative Influence Network report have had 0.4% videos recommended since February 14th. So they have stifled and killed totally our ability to reach new people with the recommended function. Which means that what is this? I mean, they're shooting their own platform in the foot, but the whole platform was built, Angelo, on a way of saying, oh, you're interested in this topic? Well, here's more of it, right? To keep you on the platform so they get ad money, right? That's the very function. This is counterintuitive to that. This is, we're not going to show you those videos because that's a bad topic. How long can YouTube last having that policy?
I mean, that just shows you that the people who run these companies aren't even about the money. They're all connected, the same elites probably, the banks and everything. They have infinite money, so what do they care? So, you know, it's like someone told, this is a little off topic, but, you know, apparently interracial porn is very bad money, and yet they still produce it constantly.
Right.
To push. So they were saying. I'm just saying that was some information, because kind of the same situation.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the agenda is more important than actually having a profit, right? Yeah.
So yeah, the agenda is way more important than the money, because then ultimately power is the ultimate outcome. So even if, you know, you don't need money to control power.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing, it looks like.
It's kind of like the same idea with like woke capitalism overall. They're actually willing to sell out their entire company and their brand for the sake of social justice. I mean, I know that they are kind of living in a very insular bubble as well, right? So they think they do their focus groups and they have their advisors and they come into the company, the advisors, I guess, they come and say, oh, you should do a campaign like this, or your next product launch needs to have this social justice message in it or something, right? And they're like, oh, this is great, you know? But in many cases, there's also massive backlash. Look at Kaepernick and Nike, for example, right? There was at the same time, you get a lot of support, but you also get a lot of boycotts in the wake of it. But it seems that they're, at least maybe to remain relevant, if that is the issue, they're willing to risk that and walk a very fine line between boycott or support remain relevant? Or is it just not about the money, maybe, as you said? That might be
not the money. But the people who are running the show in the background, it's not about the money. They have all the money in the world. If I were them, I'd stop right here and just go hang out in a yacht, but they want power. These people that, and money is just a tool, and they already have all the power, so they don't need it anymore. So if YouTube loses half its revenue, who cares? It's still YouTube. It's still going to be making millions or whatever it makes. What do they care? You know? So as long as they can control things, it's all about control. Money is just a tool to gain control. That's what it is. So you're dealing with companies that are in the million, billions and billions of dollars. What they have on them. How is a little guy like me, for example, if I want to sue Google, it's never going to happen. It's like, I don't have a chance.
Yeah.
if they took down your site for something illegal, claiming something that you did illegal, it wasn't, how much would it cost you in lawyers just even show up, you know? And then they'll settle it for like a few $1,000s. And you go, Henrik. And you're still shut down. They don't care. You're dealing with a monstrosity.
Yeah. And if they were a little bit more calm and strategic, though, and didn't walk so damn fast or run so fast towards their goal, I think fewer people would wake up. But I think to a certain extent, their hubris is causing people to be shaken out of their slumber also at the same time. Not talking about the majority of the masses, but let's face it, Angela, a lot of people have woken up to this. And again, even thanks to Trump, the one good thing he did was that their incessant, relentless attack and baseless lies and accusations and misquotes, and anyone who just have an ounce of interest in looking up some of these things for themselves can find out that it's false. It's just lies and garbage. And so they're burying themselves.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So now you just said a good point. They can go look up this stuff. Well, no, they can't, because that's the end game.
Yeah.
So as this is what happened, fact check. Politico is the fact check.
Yeah. Well, Snopes or whatever.
Snopes. Yeah. That's what they're going to do. And they are doing right now. It's crazy. What has happened in the last decade, Henrik, is insane. Like the racial tensions up through the roof, the LGBT language, kids. I mean, I've never seen this. You know, I always joke around. The things me and my friends used to say in the 90s growing up would get us in jail right now. Just the joke. It's incredible how pathetic and weak we've become. I mean, I used to do guns in school like this. You know, we'd make paper guns and shoot each other, make jokes. Kids are getting banned for wearing a shirt that said guns on it. It's just so crazy, this world. It's getting very soft. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's the final days of a crumbling empire that we're witnessing here, and unfortunately it's global, and it means that it has a momentum as well. So it won't just collapse overnight. It will take time. Unfortunately, Rome wasn't built, and neither did it fall overnight.
Yes. And
that's where I think we are.
We should look forward to the collapse. I mean, I don't know, it will start anew. I look at it as nature running her course, you know. And I always bring this up in interviews, the Robert Calhoun experiment with the Mouse Utopia experiment, where the mice were given infinite food, infinite all this space, and the population boomed. And then all of a sudden, after years or whatever time went by, I don't think it was years, but who knows? Anyway, the mice got really fat. They were overpopulated. They started clumping into these to eat. They would actually clump on top of each other, and other mice would go in the corner, like, you know, these MGTOW incel people. And so the society and the female mice got more aggressive. The male mice got less aggressive, gender role reversals, and the entire colony went extinct. So that's pretty much what will happen here. I'm not saying we're all going to go extinct, but the idea of America will go extinct. Eventually America will fall apart. We're too divided. We're too complacent. And the one thing I always say too, when I remember from the Marine Corps, is that complacency kills. So if you're complacent in the war zone, you take off your helmet, you put down your gun over there too far away, a guy shows up and shoots you, you weren't ready. You were complacent. You got too comfortable. And nature is driven by chaos and conflict. Our genes adapt to harsh environments to make us stronger. You know, when you become really complacent and feminine in a way, too feminine, like our men are today, things go wrong, you know? So the gender reversals are going to destroy the family, which you already see, 50% divorce rates. The overpopulation in parts of the world is destroying those parts of the world. You know, the workforce here is pretty much castrated. I mean, I don't even know anymore what to think, but I look forward to the collapse. It'd be great if it's in my lifetime, but I doubt it, Henrik. You're right. It's going to take decades for it to happen.
Yeah. Especially now when it's global, the momentum is just going to keep the ship going, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, the generations, the millennials don't notice anything. They think this is normal. You know, they think it's normal that a 10-year-old's at a New York strip club drag queen dancing. They think that's normal.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the thing. It's a very important point you mentioned, that we don't have generally the attitude that's like nature is still like there as an active component that we need to respect and understand. But we, due to our success, we've removed ourselves temporarily from those the full enforcement of nature. But at the end of the day, nature always wins, right? So with our success comes weakness. With that weakness comes collapse and disarray. And again, maybe stronger cultures or other people that are willing to fight for resources and territory, they move in and they take over until we realize that this is war. This is for real, right?
Yeah. No, it's, and history's is littered with these empires like that, you know?
Yeah.
All really big and then they collapse. That's what happened.
So I want to return. We're going to take a break here in a little bit. I'm showing some footage from this Mouse Utopia experiment. It's kind of interesting. And it, in a way, does tie in with the UBI thing that Andrew Yang is proposing, right? If what are we looking at here in the future? That's what I want to get into. You know, they're talking about sex robots right now. Sex drive is one of the biggest drives, right, that there is for men and primarily, but for everyone. And if you have a way of kind of diverting that energy into, like, no need for you to go out and find a mate anymore, you can just put on the VR goggles and your suck cup or whatever the hell it is, or some robot or something, right? What's going to drive people? And especially then if they have some, like, UBI, you get money to just, you can just lie around, right? There's no, what are the incentives? What's going to happen? I think what's going to happen is what happens on this chart right here. It's going to be a collapse. But so that's one thing I want to get into and see what kind of the negative consequences of someone like Yang would be. Someone said Andrew Yanglin from the Day Restormer. That was kind of funny. But anyway, also want to talk with you about Tucker, the outrage against his old comedy skits as some Bubba SpongeBob kind of thing. And of course, it's Media Matters, Soros again, the usual suspects is behind this to take him down. So those are important issues I want to get into. But at the end here of the first segment, Angelo, people can follow you on Twitter. You do have a YouTube channel as well. What is there anything specifically you're engaged or involved in right now?
No, I'm just, for some reason, people are reaching out to me again to get on the shows. Because I've stated I want to get involved again with just in the movement in general in regards to humanity and trying to bring a message which everyone could relate to. And that's what I've been doing for the last year or two, and it's been working very well. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard follows me. Andrew Yang follows me on Twitter.
Did you see that he retweeted or he gave a thumbs up to Ramsey Paul and then he removed it? Someone complained?
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure they'll look through his list, right, and say, here's a white supremacist, you know, remove him.
My thing is, Henrik, you know, yeah, I admit being in, like, group, I was never white, so you know how we are. I'm just like...
I know, but these people are, they're insane. They're totally cuckoo. They're hysterical ninnies.
I have no problem saying, yeah, I would go well with that. Yeah, I had these prejudices. Yeah, and I don't have them anymore, and I'm totally open to it. And I'm here to just solve problems and get good people together. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
My view, and it's been working, and that's a real strategy. It's not a strategy in the sense it's deceptive, but that's my strategy. I don't want to be stuck to one tribal thing or ideology. I don't want an ism, per se. You know, I have many different ones I pick from. So that's what I'm doing. So my YouTube, for example, I kind of regret deleting my original one because I had 5,000 people and I started a new one. I don't even know what I'm doing with it. I just self-help videos, some politics videos. Yeah, that's a funny one too. But yeah, it's not really good. I mean, I doubt I'll grow that at all, but my main activism is on Twitter. So that's where everyone should catch me on that. Yeah, I'd rather give it to Israel.
Yeah, I mean, Trump has been horrific on this issue and the money... He's taking it away. I saw the recent one there. By the way, he was the education program. I saw something was earlier today, or was it yesterday? Where did that go? I lost it now. But it was something about the education that he's going to yank like several, I think up to $1 billion or something from the education system. And of course, where is it? Spend it on defense and Israel and everything else, right? It's nauseating.
What are we defending? No one's going to attack us.
I know. Anyway, so yeah, we'll take a short break. Make sure you follow Angelo on Twitter. It's just simply at Angelo John Gage. We'll have a link to that down below. Stay with us, Angelo. Take a short break. We'll be right back at RedIceMembers.com for part 2.